Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the National Black Film and Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Dial back in now. And Henrietta Bird is about to join us. And we are cooking tonight. I've got some exciting news, some exciting information. Just some plain old excitement. So that's what's happening around the horn. And I'm going to do the declaration of the International Black Summit. As I pull it up. And I hope you all doing well. Tonight is an interesting night. We've got all kinds of goodies for you. We're excited. Let me do the declaration and then I get you guys going here. And both your mics should be open. Henrietta and Rod, let me do the declaration. The Declaration of International Black, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Atlanta, New York City. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Peace and blessings to you all, and welcome to the show we call the International Black Summit Talk Show, coming to you live and in color. Henrietta Bird visited me in New York City. Is back in Chi-Town, Chicago. What is happening, girlfriend, with you?
The hawk, the almighty hawk.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Well, we're supposed to get it tomorrow night.
Well,
it be it coming. And we got brother Rod on the line, too. He's being quiet, but his mic is open, too.
Oh, no, that's, no, you, somebody put something in your Wheaties, Glenn?
Huh?
I said, somebody put something in your Wheaties?
Baby. My Wheaties is going to be extra powerful from now on.
Okay.
And it's all all natural.
Yeah, because you got down with that.
All natural.
Okay. But lucky for me.
I'm feeling my Wheaties there, brother.
Okay.
I
can hear it. I can hear it. I can totally hear it.
Well, you know what it is for me. I got to generate it because where I was looking from and coming from, I was tired, and it's like, but I'm satisfied. And so when you're tired and you're satisfied, that's something good. That's a good thing. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that for myself and generate for myself the possibility. That's all. That's where this brother's coming from.
Well, you did good. You did good. Well, lucky for me, it's still, I think today, yeah, yesterday and today, we're going to get back up to 60. So it was cold a couple of days, but now we're going to get back to some decent weather. But I think by Thursday and Friday, it's going to go back down to 23 and 40. So we'll get it Thursday. We have, I guess, one more decent day, and then Thursday it's gonna hit us. So I guess I can be part of the Northern crew.
Mhm.
Yeah. So, I guess it's really good that Miss Henrietta made it home. She made it home in time for the real cold weather, which is good, huh?
Well, she brought the hawk to New York. Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
Because we had the coldest days last week, and it's just going to continue.
Wow.
So that's all right. It's all good.
Wow.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, it is. So what's on your agenda tonight? What is this conversation about tonight?
From a soup kitchen. We just did, so my Business Improvement District did a soup kitchen tonight.
Oh, that was good.
You know, Christmas soup kitchen. So we fed about 85, 90 people. I think we lost him
really
again,
yeah. Yeah, that was really good, man. Wow, that was good.
Yeah.
She dropped. I think she's at the hospital. She said she was at the hospital.
No, she left the hospital. She dropped. But she's on over. She's in route.
Home?
Maybe I'll even call her. Yeah.
She's okay, good. Okay.
So how you doing, my brother? What are you up to these days? Today.
Man, you know what's so what's great is that I got off early, came home, and wanted to go do something else. The body said no, so I've been sleeping all day.
Yeah. I understand.
The body said no, so it's cool. So I just got to take a shower, and now I just got through eating. And you know what? That's the thing. You know what? You feel so well. You see it tired and satisfied because guess what I just had? I actually just had it. It don't happen. Got a shower in and soup.
Yes.
Really can't beat that.
Yeah. Yep. You're right about that, brother.
Yeah, she must be, I guess we'll just kind of catch her a little bit.
Yeah, I tried to call her back, but she was not there.
Yeah, that's fine. But, we'll catch in a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll catch up with her. Yeah, so I'm still reveling in the acknowledgement of the NAACP. I'm still getting a lot of people congratulating me and. But you know what my senses or what I get is that the award isn't about me. It really is acknowledgement of all the people that are in my life that supported me.
Oh yeah.
You know,
because really
cool. I couldn't have done it without anybody. I couldn't have done it by myself. And so what I'm present to is just how much there's team, community, you know, all of that. You know, it exists inside of that context. And
yeah, because y'all have a great team, don't you?
I have a great team. I've got great people around me that are working together that are willing to work with me, quite frankly. And that in itself is pretty awesome.
Well, that makes a big
difference.
You know,
I got people that are interested, that are alive, interested, and willing to play. You know, that's huge. And part of
it
is that, you know, certainly that I've created that. But, you know, but you gotta create it for in order, you have to give people opportunity to play with you.
Right. And you feel like that's what you've done with that, with at least with your district? You pretty much created that?
Well, no, I'm still working on that. Those are some hardcore dudes. Community board, you know, and some of the other places that I put forth some work and some value and some relationship. All of that stuff is paying off for me. So in that respect, you know, things are happening. And I can't complain. At all. But it's, you know, but it's all of it. I mean, it's the summit, it's the landmark, it's, you know, what was amazing to me was somebody came up to me and read my bio, and they're doing the forum, I'm not sure when, but they said that they signed up to do the forum. So, I mean, when you think about it, out of reading my bio, she's now enrolled. Well, she was already enrolled, but she sees the work in the community. So it's got to give her some possibility. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's actually pretty good, then. And she just got enrolled into it, though, right? She was enrolled into. She's doing the forum this weekend.
I don't know when she's doing it. She contacted me, and I just sent an email. I asked her when she was doing it and all that kind of stuff. And I saw that she sent me a friend request on Facebook. So I did, and. You know, and I introduced Henrietta, Maya, Oren, and no, I didn't introduce Oren. Introduced to Maya and Joyce, because they were where we were.
Okay.
But it's just exciting to even think. That from reading your bio, oh, yeah, I know about that stuff. That's the second person
that did that.
I was working with somebody from, I said I was the second person that's done that. I was meeting somebody from the Port Authority. I was getting introduced to them. They had checked me out online and knew about Landmark. I said, oh, yeah, when I was looking up your profile, I saw that you've done Landmark. I've done Landmark, too. You know, it's like, cool. So it's out in space, my brother.
Oh, yeah, that's actually pretty good. That is actually pretty good.
So how was your day, brother?
Good, man. Well, you know, what's so interesting is that what I really like, only worked like maybe 4 or 5 hours today. And then he let me go, and then I was like, you know what, this is I really got some stuff done at the job, cleaned up, got out of there, and then, you know, wanted to come home and get ready and go to the pool. Then also, I was trying to also get some other stuff done really quick, you know, because I wanted to take my aqua fit class. And I'm telling you, man, I got home. I barely made it home. That's how sleepy I was, and that was in the middle of the day. That's how tired I've been. Okay, I just barely made it home. I said, okay, if I take a nap, I can get up, you know, and just make it in, you know, going over there. And like I said, and it just never happened. Never happened. You know, but I got up. I don't know, I woke up about 6 or 7. Start working on a couple of things, and then now, you know, I've just been laying around. I said, you know what, if nothing else, I'm going to go take a good shower. Got a good shower. I almost didn't want to even leave my room. Went and took a shower. Then I said, you know what, let's see what they have for food downstairs, you know, at my house, and found some soup. Like I said, I'm tired, but I think the theme of you saying tired or worn out and satisfied. That's like, that is so perfect. You know, but it's a simple thing like taking a shower and getting some soup, man. You can't beat it, man. God. You know, and I think tomorrow's going to be a long day. Tomorrow's going to be a decent day at work, and then I got to do something afterwards. But just to really be able to just kind of really relax and not really even, you know, leave the house and, you know, just be relaxed and have life just work out so well, you know? Now, I got to say this because it's so in the space for me because it came up, what you're saying, which is, I think, is so great, was that we had foster children at our we had a foster program at the hotel on Sunday, right? And they do it every year, and it was children from the age of 12 to 18, right? I think I say freshmen, which may be what, maybe 13 or 14 to the age of 18. And all these companies donated all this money, and the people volunteered their time, and it was like, wow, I just would love to just get involved in something like that, you know. And it's just so it's to me, it's in line with what you're doing in your community. And you got what the thing is, you touch so many different parts of the community, you know. And but I definitely would love to go do something like that, even on the holidays, like go volunteer at a soup kitchen, go do something like that. So that's what showed up, and it was great, man, because really when I was talking to one of the volunteers, and he said he's been doing it for years. One lady said she's been doing it for 16 years. I said, do you work for the organization? She said, no. Can you believe it? I'm an eye doctor. She said, but I've been doing this, you know, for 16 years. And what was crazy was somebody stole her cell phone maybe a year or two ago, right? And I think they found, one of the children stole her phone. But it didn't deter her from still helping these people out, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. You know, she's like, I'm still going to volunteer. These children got different, you know, definitely got a lot of different things going on in their lives. But I'm here to still provide them. Yeah. So.
Thus, you know, and Henrietta just got back on board. But my computer just went dead. What happened on my computer here? Oh, here it is. Let me open up a line. But there's something about serving others. You know, Warner talked about that. We're talking about Warner Earhart, the person who established the S training, which then led to the Landmarks Forum, which then led to the International Black Summit. So Warner talked about, when you serve others, you're serving yourself. And it's in that context of service that you get to appreciate who other people are, but you also get to appreciate who you are inside of the context of humanity. And you know, for me, that's what this transformational work is really gets me in touch with. I was watching this movie, 10,000 B.C., and it's the second version of it, because there's another 10,000 B.C. that was also pretty good. But this last one was about this these mammoth hunters that somebody came and captured the people, and they kind of tracked them. But at some point in time, the main character thought that his father was a coward, and like maybe about two-thirds into the movie, he realizes from the guy who's the leader now and is with him, who was his father's best friend, told them that the father wanted them to believe that he was a coward because he didn't want everybody to follow suit and leave the tribe and have the tribe be at risk. So he made up this lie that he was a coward and told people or had people think that so that he could go off and do what he wanted to do. And then he discovered that how his father had created these relationships in other parts of the world. And those relationships helped him to become the man who he was and the leader that he was. And they have they talk about it, and Henrietta actually asked me about it. He said that some men encircle their family, and then some men encircle their family and their friends, and then some men encircle multitudes of people. And, you know, for me, I say that for me that serving others gives me that access to that third circle. Henrietta, you want to jump in on that? Oh, wait a minute. Her mic is not opening up too quickly here. But anyway, so you know, that whole conversation of transformation, that's kind of how it lives for me.
Yeah, that's really pretty good.
Yeah, as soon as the mic opens up, she'll jump in.
If you can't get in, is she still on?
No, she dropped again. That's why it couldn't come on. Yeah,
oh, she must be traveling.
So,
No, that's really good. It was great because I like what you said. What was really good, too, was that, you know, to see those people volunteer the way they were doing it, you know. And, you know, pretty much that's what we, you know, you and I both have been in that framework anyway for years. But to even see it in an organization like a foster child, you know, foster children really, you know, was really pretty great. And, of course, for you, shoot, you touch, like, what, so many different areas of the community in your community board. It's like, it's amazing to see the things that you do. And then also, well, to know the things that you're involved in. But then also the good thing to me is what I also see is how you even have your own little branch of the NAACP in your community. They recognize you, and I think that's just, like, awesome. You know?
Yeah,
but
you.
But it's not about you, which is even better. It's not about you. It's really about the community in itself.
Yeah, it really, you know, the more that I think of it, the more I get that it's really, I'm the recipient of the award, but it's really all of our awards. You know, the work that you do with me, the work that Henrietta does with me, you know, all of the, you know, Oren, Byron, you know, Rosemary, you know, some people on the community board, you know, Adrian Adams, the president, Yvonne Reddick, the district manager, you know, all of them contribute. And I told them at the table, you know, one of the things I said to them was, you know, I want to go public and say, you know, I couldn't have gotten the work done without the two of you, the work that I've done in the community board And, you know, of course, they kind of deflected it and pointed it back at me. But, I mean, that's just kind of that really is the truth. You know, I've got great partners. And that's what enables me to be able to, do a little bit more with less and extend it. Henry, your mic is open, so you can jump in any time.
Oh, great. Great. I didn't know if you could hear me. I didn't know if you could hear me or not, but, you know, it's interesting to listen to you and Rod talk about that, because I've seen, you know, throughout the seasons, I would say for the last year and a half, almost 2 years with Rod, I've seen the work that he does with his family, you know, like as you were describing those three circles, you know, I've seen him work with his family just day and night, you know, like whatever, if it meant him not going to work, if it meant, like just whatever the cost was, his family was first. You know, his family was first, helping his sister and taking care of his brother-in-law and making sure that his parents have what they need, and this sister and that sister. And that might just be for the daytime. At nighttime, it was taking care of all of his friends. Okay? And then it was going to work early the next morning. I just want the listeners to know that the two gentlemen on this call, they fit into all three of those circles. You know, I watched Rod do that for the last 2 years, like be so committed to everybody in his family, not just one person, but many people, not everybody, because he has a very large family, but those people who needed, who called and asked him for help with whatever it meant, his time, his energy, his help me move, help me do that, you know. So all three of those circles, the family, the friends, and the collective, you know, I've seen that in Rod. I see that in you over the years that we've been working together. You know, it's hard for some people to understand our relationship, Glenn. And it's funny that, you know, some people they just don't understand it, and that's okay. But I've watched you with your mom, and we talked about that on this show before, like cooking for your mom and what are you fixing for her, and not just heating up something, not running to a fast food restaurant to get her something, but going, I can't tell you how many times I called you and you said, I'm on my way to the fish market because I want to make fish. No, my mother wants fish. She requested it. So that's what you were going to give for her, you know, not talking her out of it, not saying I'm tired, not saying, you know, I got a meeting or three to go to. But my mother asked for some fish, so I'm going to get her some fish. You know, that's the way Rod was with his, or is, with his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law could want a candy bar, and Rod will go someplace in the middle of the night and get him a candy bar. Like, see, that's over and above volunteering. You know, that's over and above being a family member. You know, that commitment to making someone's life, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's making a person so happy to the degree that they want to live a little bit longer. See, and you know, that's my thing. That's my vision, to have people choose life rather than death. So when I get to see my vision in both you and Rod, I get to see my vision fulfilled, you know, and then you move from the family to the Summit family to your your different groups, your Paday group, you know, your people like Byron and Oren and Rod, you know, the people in your men's group, you know, Rod's in a men's group or was in a men's group that he had to be committed to certain things 2, 3, 4 times a week. Like, that's over and above just a friend or just a volunteer. That's over and above that. You know, people wonder about, you know, they wonder about what makes a person do a particular thing. But when you are going to get honored by the NAACP, there was no question for me about being there to witness it. Like, whatever I had to do to get there, that's what I was going to do to get there, because that's who you are for me. You know, that's who Rod is for me, someone that I mean, all I have to do is watch the two of you, and I get inspired to do more. You know, I was at the Lori's Children Hospital all day today with my niece, my goddaughter. She has been in the hospital since 2 o'clock yesterday. And all while I was in New York, she was not feeling well. And when I got home, she was in the hospital. And when I walked in that hospital, I made sure that I had on red, so that, because I've been there before and I knew there would be a lot of children, and it would be, you know, it would make them feel good if they saw something that looked like Christmas, you know. So I made sure that I dressed up and that I spoke to every child that I walked past, you know. That's what I see you all do, like, just go out of your way. Steve Harvey mentioned the other day on one of his shows, he said, stop walking past people and not giving them money when they ask you for it. You got money to give them. So when I went, my Lama needed, she wanted some pineapple juice, and believe it or not, they didn't have any in the hospital. So I walked down the street to Michigan Avenue and got her some from Walgreens. And then I just walked down Michigan Avenue, and everybody I passed, I gave them some money. You know, one of the things that Steve Harvey mentioned was, he said, they're not asking you for anything that you don't have. They're not asking you for $1 million. They're not even asking you for 5 or 10. They're asking for change. And so I made sure that I gave money to the ones that ring the bell.
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army, right. Salvation Army, the people who were sitting on the street, the ones that were in the airport playing the saxophone. There were so many.
You know what I do for that, Henrietta? I actually give them money for Salvation Army, and I also give them money for themselves. I do both.
Oh, that's
always
nice.
The last time I went in, I said, you know what? It was a girl that was standing outside of JCPenney. And mm-hmm. I gave her, I don't think I had but a dollar, right? So I knew mm-hmm. I had another dollar in the car. So I said, you know what? I gave her a dollar, and I said, I'll be right back, because I was getting a haircut. I said, I'll be right mm-hmm. back. So I went to the store to grab something to eat, came back, and said, look, here's a dollar, and that's for you. At least you can mm-hmm. have you a dollar for your cup of coffee, right?
Right.
And she said,
No.
I said, no, that's for you. You have that for you, because you're volunteering your time, and I'm appreciating you for doing that.
That's good. So I always try
to do that, you know, try to do, you know, I'm giving to the charity, but I'm also giving to that person who's really giving their time.
I like that. I'm going to remember that the next time. You know, I'm really going to remember that. So, and see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, just things like that, that comes natural for you and Glenn, and I guess for me too, as well. You know, it's just a way of life. You know, it's a way of life. I read somebody sent on Facebook about this being a very hard time of the year. and about how sad it was, and, you know, like that, that kind of thing. And it was really hard for me to read it. But I kept saying, that doesn't sound like them to me. And I'm saying this to make a point. Sometimes people send things out on Facebook, and they ask you to forward them. And they're not really things that you believe, forwarding them because someone asked you to. And I'm saying read them before you forward them. Because I almost panicked when I read it, because I was like, something's really wrong for this person to feel this way, you know. And then I realized this is something they forwarded because somebody forwarded it to them. But I'm just saying, we want to stay in the giving mode. Like, it's like when you give, it's like, it's the best feeling, number one. What else is it? What is it for you, Rod? What is it for you, Glenn, when you give?
Well, for me, it's just like, you know, Kendra, you may have missed some of what we were saying earlier, but it's something about, you know, one, it's not about me, and to really just be giving of myself and not want anything in return. And it's, I don't know, it's like you almost can't beat being there for others, you know. What that is, and Glenn just said it so well, and I really have to let Glenn restate it, of what he said earlier, because I don't think you were on the phone at the time.
Okay.
Of what, and maybe he just did say it. I guess I'm just trying to think of how it went, of how, what Werner Earhart said about, you know, it's so much into giving to others, and it's not about yourself, it's about the others that you're giving to. And it's just, I don't know, it's a feeling that you almost can't beat. At least that's how it feels for me. You know, I think at one point, when I first got involved in this transformational work, I was so into, if I could just do this, and I really did not want money for it. You know, like I just wanted to give of myself and give it to people. And I think that it's really almost like being in the church or in an organization that is so selfless. And it's almost into a sense of a place that you can't even speak from, of how it actually puts perspective of where we can give of ourselves. Cause I can't give money, but I can give of myself, you know? Or I can't give money. Even to just give of myself is like the biggest gift.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because when you do that, I find when I do that, that my needs are met. My needs are always met, you know. And there are times where I do, you know, forget that my needs are always met. I forget that sometime, and I may start to worry about something, and then I have to remind myself, Henrietta, you've given, and because you have given everything you need, you will have. Everything you think you need. And so there's no worry that you have to have, you know. Glenn, what is it like for you when you give?
You know what I'm present to is humanity. You know, the humanity that we are, that whatever it is that is being offered is something that's precious. And it doesn't have to be $1 million. It doesn't have, you know, it could be some change in your pocket. You know, one of the things that I enjoy doing is I'll see young adults and mostly teenagers, and they'll come around on the subway and they'll sell candy for $1. And they, they're doing the best of the little hustle, and so they're selling gum and chocolate and this and that and all that stuff. And I'll give them $1 and say, "That's for you. I don't need nothing. Just here." And, they give you a strange look, but they get it. Because it's an offering. It's a gift. I am acknowledging that you're working hard. And here's something for you. I don't know. It's a good feeling. It's something that I've learned inside of the work that we've been doing. And I feel good. It's endorphins are released or whatever. I feel good about them. I feel good about myself. The thing that as old as I am, will still make me come to tears is when people give of themselves to another person. That they don't have to, it's not necessary, but out of choice, that they're choosing to give something to someone. Or, in the movies, a little bit more dramatic, maybe they give their life, they lay down their life so that somebody else can live to do the work, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it just,
right.
That selflessness just, it brings me to tears, because I say that that's what the real humanity is about, and all this other stuff that's out there is a way of not being in touch with our true humanity. So that's what I would say about it.
Yeah. I want to just give a shout out to all the mothers and fathers that are taking care of their special needs children. Like, being in the hospital all day today, I got to see family after family after family after family who have children that are permanently in wheelchairs, and in, like just different things. And these children are so happy. They're so, because they have people who love them. And I saw one parent who was walking. The father was pushing the child in the wheelchair, and the mother was playing a game with the little boy, like a word game, something he had to think about, And they were just a dedicated couple to the needs of their, to the special needs of their child. And it's just so nice to have these facilities now where people can come and get the medical assistance that they need, and it's in a the ambiance of it is geared toward children. It was really an experience, really, really an experience to watch these people today who are committed to taking care of their families. And, people would say, well, that's what they're supposed to do. And everybody may have to do it. It might be a supposed to do it, but these are people I'm talking about who feel good about doing it. You could tell this is their lifestyle, and they know what to do to make the child laugh, to make the child smile, even though they know they have to go and see the doctor. So it was really, really a great experience today, you know, being in that hospital and being able to smile at all of those children. So back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I was just actually searching for that quote that they used to use. As a matter of fact, it was part of the sixth day. But it really speaks to, says something like, when I'm serving you, I am service. When I become service, then there's an opportunity for me to be in touch with my humanity. I mean, that's the best I can say, and I am not even saying it as eloquent, because Warner Earhart, I don't know if you're familiar with him and his quotes, Henrietta, but I know Rod is, from being in this work for so long, and the man is
awesome.
About six layers deep in his communication. Like, you'll say something and you'll get it on one level, then you think about it, you'll get it on another level, and the more you think about it and be with it, there's about at least four or five more levels.
Okay.
You know, it's just, he opens you up in a way just like the landmark opens you up. You know, you take those 3 days and the evening, and you're not the same. And that's how his words are. And he talks funny. But if you listen, but if you listen hard, you'll get it.
Glenn, have you ever seen him in person?
I'm trying to think.
Have you ever seen him in person, Glenn?
I don't think that I have, actually. He's been around. I've been around him, but I haven't seen him speak in person.
Like he's been in New York Center or something. He was in New York Center a couple of times or something.
He came to the sixth day site.
Okay. When you were working, that's right. So when you were back in the day,
yeah,
he was around. God.
But to see the, you know, there are a lot of tapes on him, and the guy is just phenomenal. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
There's no other way to say it. It's so true. He is. You know, it's so funny when you say that, because I remember Catherine said that she was with him. He was in some event one day, and you know, she was there, and she said that he walked by her. And he touched her, right? And she felt like, you know, I hate to say this, but it's almost like she felt like it was like it was magical even when he touched her as he was speaking. You know, that's the type of person that he is, that he has, like that aura of, you know, that, what you're saying, like so many layers, but even that, she said when he went by and just touched her for that quick second, it still was something like, you know, like some aura came through, you know, and that's who he is, Henrietta. When you get a chance, you just look him up online, look at some of the things he does. And, of course, he's the one that really started this whole movement of transformation that we're in, you know. And even now, he still comes and do things. And sometimes he, you know, it's a couple events that he even does now that I heard that he'll just speak for free, you know, that you could check out sometimes. So anyway, Henrietta, we, you know, you just have to look him up, you know. And
here's a quote that I think is perfect for the conversation, or at least it certainly is relating to me. And this is one of many. Instead of looking for a great leader, we are in an era where each of us needs to find the great leader within ourselves.
Yeah.
Now that one is actually pretty straightforward. You know, he's got some of them like that, but most of them are so wrapped up that it's like, you know, you have to fully be with him to get it. And then when you get it, there's so many levels. Here's another one. Love is granting another the space to be the way they are and the way they are not. Oh, here's a good one. Until you've completed your relationship with your parents, all your relationships will be about your parents. So, you know, and he talks a lot about completing and getting, you know, and being complete. But I wish I could find the one on service. Because that one, man, that blows you away. And he talks ontologically. You know, it's you can do a whole study on him by himself. I mean, it really is that deep. And then when you look at the work of Landmark, and then you look at the work of the Summit, we've taken that and we have languaged it in a way that works for us. And then the youth have languaged it in a way that works for them. So, I mean, you keep spinning off levels of access to this conversation that are just, it's just phenomenal. I mean, I can't even say anything more about it. But that service piece is such a link to humanity. And I heard him say it first. And you know, maybe I'll find it someday. But I think it definitely is worth. You know, worth the conversation. I mean, it's just, you know, all this conversation. Because remember, the forum leaders trained with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he left Landmark, or was forced out because he really didn't want to leave, and then you know, he left the legacy. I mean, that's, you know, the Summit is his legacy, whether he gets it or not. I mean, if somebody said it to him, he'd probably, you know, the question is, does he know the history? I don't even know. I know his brother does, Harry Rosenberg.
You remember, they used to come to the Summit, remember, man? Used to come to the Summit years ago. Yeah, so he knows. I'm quite sure he knows.
Yeah, the thing about it is, it doesn't matter to him. You know,
well, it doesn't
it's
matter
like,
if it matters to him or not. It doesn't matter.
Wait. Hear what I'm saying. When you are a giver, it's not like you're taking notes, and you're not like counting the, what did they used to call it, the things on your belt. You know how they used to, every time somebody
the notches
in your belt. You're not collecting. You're not seeing. You're not adding up all of the things that you've done. That's not what you do. It's like you look up, and somebody says to you, "Man, you look the legacy that you've left." And you kind of don't even know it, you know, you kind of, because you're just being guided,
the Spirit is guiding you here and guiding you there, and you're working these principles that you know work. So you don't even look around, like I'm saying to you, Rod, and you, Glenn. You all don't count how many times you do things. You don't think about that. You just do them. And that's what I mean when I say it doesn't matter. Like, it's not like of course he would be proud and feel good, but what I mean is he's on to the next whatever he can do because that works for him. You know, just like giving works for us. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, you know. People who are in that mode, they're just tunnel vision. Like, who can I, you know, how can I help the next group of people? How can I transform this group of people? Or how can we do it in this country? Or how can we do it in this community? You know, and then they do it and they move on to the next thing. So that's, you know, that's what I meant. I didn't mean to negate anything, but just to say, that's what he does. You know, that's what he does. And that's just a wonderful, like a wonderful experience to have. Do you hear what I'm saying, Rod?
Yeah, but I also was saying also, but I got you. I was also saying that, but it's still something about, you know, his work also is also really about being acknowledged. You know, like that's the heart of the work. So I can hear that, but also I can really get that he is almost probably in the world of acknowledgement also. But
okay,
I also hear the bigger picture what you're saying, and I'm especially inside of I could get to what you're saying. Still, it's second nature to him. Like this whole thing that he's done, the world he's given us. And the millions of people that he's touched, he's now on to something else.
Right.
Because it's like, because it's part of his nature. So, yeah, I get your message clearly.
Yeah, it's, you know, I actually had a picture of him up on my wall. I never did get his book.
We taught his class at church.
Huh?
We taught his book. He has a book out called The Seven Principles of Leadership. And that was a class that was taught. We taught it at church. You know, because that's the kind of church I go to. It's been around since 1956. Kind of the kind of work that we're talking about, you know, there's certain authors that fall into that. And that was the other thing I wanted to present. It's like, you know, the spaces that we go in and out of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, yeah. There are these spaces that we go in and out of, and they're through life. You know, like you're on a particular path, and when you are focused on like transformation, which is what we're talking about, you're gonna go in and out of spaces with people of the same mindset. And so, just like there are people who are really glad, Glenn, that you crossed their path, and that's what they said. I don't know what we would do without Glenn. I don't know how we would do that without Glenn. You know, and you may not feel that way about it. You may think that anybody can do what you do, but that's not true. Like there are some things that you were created and put here to do. And that's, you know, and so I'm saying the same thing about him. That was what he came here to do. That's his life's work, and he's doing it, you know. And, like, you're doing your life's work. Rod is doing his life's work. And it may feel however it feels or seem whatever it seems,
But when you do it, you go in and out of these spaces. And there are people that come into your space, and there are people who go out of your space. And there's shoulders that you stand on, you know. And I'm sure that he could give you a list of the people in the places of the shoulders he stands on. Because it didn't just start with him. It was here before he got here, you know. And he walked into the space, and he grabbed it. And he worked with it and developed it and created it in a way that it was attractive to us. See, it wasn't attractive to everybody, but it was attractive to us and those that we know who moved in and out of those spaces. So it's like I love watching life unfold when it comes to any particular given way of being, you know, it's just like a phenomenon to me, how principle works. Like once you focus on something and you make a decision and you set an intention and you do that thing and you don't let anything stop you from doing that thing, the universe just lines itself up to make sure that that works. That's New Thought 101. You know, that's principle in action. That's what some people call God. That's what some people call spirit. You know, some people call it principle. And it just works. If you work it, it works. So I just like...
I got a quote for you. Here's a quote that I just ran into from Warner Earhart. Your power is a function of velocity. That is to say, your power is a function of the rate at which you translate intention into reality. Most of us disempower ourselves by finding a way to slow, impede, or make more complex than necessary the process of translating intention into reality. And that kind of is parallel to what you just said, Henrietta.
Yeah. What are you like?
Well, we are.
Yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you.
I was just saying what I like is I like the people who have grabbed the bull by the horn. You know, and no matter what life hands them, they stay focused and they get it done. No matter how hard they're knocked down and drugged or whatever, they get themselves back up and they do that thing. And that's what I see, you know. That's why I keep acknowledging you and Rod tonight. Because that's what I see the two of you doing regularly, on a regular basis. And, you know, like you said, that NAACP award, it was just like it was mine as I sat there. You know, it was just like it was, that's just how I felt, you know. And I was so glad to be able to get there and to witness it for myself, you know. But it's, you know, it's just like the things we receive for everybody who's in those circles that we talked about earlier, whether it's our family, whether it's our family and friends, or whether it's our family, friends, and our community and everyone else, you know. So I'm complete.
Oh, shoot, listen to this. Leaders do not act from a plan, but plan from their action. Their planning is really a conversation which gives other people access to the possibility to which you are committed. Want me to say that again?
Yes. Yeah.
Leaders do not act from a plan, but plan from their action. The planning is really a conversation which gives other people access to the possibility to which you are committed.
I'll
read it again.
Okay.
Huh?
Because
that's, and it usually takes a couple of tries to piece it together. It's so much in it. Mm-hmm. Leaders do not act from a plan, but plan from their action. The planning is really a conversation which gives other people access to the possibility to which you are committed.
That, like, two things came up for me. One is, that's why the International Black Summit is a conversation.
Uh-huh.
It's a conversation.
Yep.
For that very reason, that's one thing that came up. The other thing that came up is that is also the reason, like, I believe, because I believe that. I believe that quote. That's kind of how.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, yeah, that's kind of how I live. I kind of live inside of action and planning from the action that's been taken, you know, which is kind of opposite of.
Of
the traditional way, I'd say. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, most people.
Yeah. And the second thing that came up for me is that oftentimes planning will stop you from acting because it's not in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And then there's an action or there's an opportunity that's right there for you to take. But if, because it's not in the plan, we don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say, that's why I agree that you act from, that you plan from the action, you know. And the plan does give the other people the opportunity to see, like, what you're up to, what's going on. But the other thing that it does is the leader, that person who is the leader, it gives them the opportunity, the plan, which I'm saying is the same as a conversation, oftentimes, same as a conversation. It also gives you the ability to hear what people think or what they're going to say or how they react to a particular thing. So you kind of, it kind of gives you a heads up on what may occur. You know, one of the things that gives you, this is what it does. I can say it better this way. It gives you an opportunity to handle your mind as a leader. You get to handle your mind. I know the same thing with doing sermon, you know, doing lesson sermon. Like for me, there's a lot of pre-work that goes into those sermons. You know, there's a lot of reading and retrospect, a lot of thinking about this and thinking about that and listening to a particular Bible study, maybe, or a story, a Bible story, rather. And then you listen to that story, and you get to have it revealed to you a particular way. And you actually go through the, I actually go through the experience of the sermon while I'm studying for it. And so when I get up to do the sermon, it may not be anything that I study, may not be anything at all that I study.
Well, we certainly
no,
have
I'm here.
But this has been an excellent conversation, a source conversation. One of, you know, what does it take to take ourselves to the next level, to be a leader, to trust ourselves, to serve others. You know, all of these realms have been part of the conversation. So this has been a juicy conversation. So, Rod and Southfield?
Yeah, it's so funny. I actually went and started looking at Werner, his whole bio just now. So I want to just leave you with this one. It was great to look at his bio, since I know you read his quotes. I just read his, you know, reading his life. I'm going to finish reading the rest of it later. But I've been listening to Joel Osteen the last, like, 7 days. And, you know, because Werner kind of reminds me, you know, Joel Osteen kind of reminds me of how Werner is and what he says and, you know, because I listened to a 30-minute sermon. The last 7 days, I think I listened to maybe 5 or 6 sermons, and they're 30 minutes long. And each one of them was so heartfelt of don't give up, you know, how you go through your life and the different lessons that come up. And so this is so in line with how I think this call went tonight, you know, to see how, you know, Glenn, the things that you've done, how you are a part of your community board, what Henrietta is as a reverend, and for myself, just being able to just give back whatever I can. And so it's just so great to even like to be in this type of conversation. And I just really like how Henrietta put it, you know, everybody's not into this conversation, and to be a part of it is just it's just awesome. So that's what I guess I want to be left, you know, I want to leave this call with.
Yeah, thank you, Rod.
That was good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for always being here also.
Yeah, that was great. I'm glad Glenn let me know that what's going on. I appreciate that too.
One last quote. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's kind of like the ongoing scheme. You know, thank you. Thank you all for being on this call. Thank you for creating this call the way it got created. And it's planned out of the action, right?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, especially how you started the call off. Okay, that's what started the whole conversation, because you were on fire with your Wheaties. So it was perfect.
Yes,
before we go, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and our annual summit event for 2017 is August 3rd through the 6th. And it is in Guyana, South America. So please go to blacksummit.org and register for the International Black Summit 2017. You have the date. In Guyana, they're celebrating their Independence Day on July 31st. So if you want to come in early and stay, you know, take that into consideration. If you want to stay late, take that into consideration. But August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, be in the room with us in that conversation of the International Black Summit as we complete our year-long discussion on as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear. what is available for the transformation of the universe. As I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage, including fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe, my universe? What's available when I do that? So thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. Well, stay tuned for another Bat Channel, another Bat Station next week, coming to you live and in color.
Glenn, can I ask a question? Are you every Tuesday at this time? What time is it? What's your schedule for this call? I mean, for the weekly call.
Well, we've been moving it around. We've actually moved it. We did a 5:00. We've done a 9:00. Tonight was more like a 9:30. So we haven't set our time yet. Cause,
yeah.
Both of our schedules are pretty hectic. So we're still trying to get the slot that works for other people as well as ourselves. So we're working that out. So we'll come up with an action plan for 2017.
Yeah, and right now it's on Tuesday, right? So.
I just wanted to kind of get an idea
because that way I can at least be ready for the call when it comes up. But I see you just kind of moving around according to y'all's schedule, which is fine. Okay. Well, thanks for the information.
All right.
Yeah.
Be well.
Remember, our calls are archived, so they can be listened to anytime after we complete them. So so remember that too. And so look, I'm gonna put Rod on the spot right now. So while Glenn is on vacation, Rod, would you consider co-hosting with me while Glenn is on vacation? And you can get back to me on that. But it just dawned on me that he's gonna be gone for a couple of weeks at the end of this month. So just consider, please.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's a huge shoes to fill, but I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, you don't have to fill his shoes. You got some big ones of your own. So, no pun intended. Okay.
Oh, that's fine. I just think Glenn does such a great job. So, I can definitely consider that.
I hear you. Yeah. Great. Okay,
well, on that note, good night, God bless, and thank you for listening. Thank you for YouTube for participating. Again, the show couldn't have been any better. Good night, God bless.
Good night, thank you.
Good night.